Hello, and welcome to Rolling for Loot. I'm your host, Shakti.
And I'm your other host, Timotep. And this is episode 1 for the week of 13 May 2012.
Today's topics, we're going to be discussing our bios and giving you some information on ourselves.
We're going to talk about why we podcast and what we hope to bring to our podcast for you, the listeners.
And the most important topic of the day, we're going to be discussing game snacks and what we have sitting beside us when we're gaming.
Excellent. So we're going to move right into our question and answer period. We're going to do our bios in the form of questions and answers just because it's a little easier than just rattling on about yourself for the next 5 minutes. although many people will say that I don't have any problem with that.
No, you don't.
Yeah, and it's true. I don't have any problem.
No.
So.
All right, so why don't you start?
I'm going to start. First question is, what is your single favorite game of all time, any genre, any category, favorite of all time?
Good. Okay. So my absolute favorite game of all time, I think you already know the answer to this, is World of Warcraft. I am a WoW gamer. I have many alts, many servers full of alts, many 85s, and I can't seem to get enough of that game. So.
Okay. My second question is, what is related to your first is to the first question.
All right.
What is your favorite genre of game? What, like, just for the listeners that we have that may not know what genre is, it's just a fancy way of saying category.
Thank you for that. I actually didn't know what genre meant. I'm kidding. Anyway, I would have to say I am a fantasy
but
person.
I kid.
Yeah. I'm a fantasy person, so I like RPGs, and I'm really liking the MMO thing. So fantasy MMO RPGs would be my category right there. Basically, if it has a dragon and I can go kill somebody with it, I'm good.
Or if you can fly around as it.
As a dragon, yes, yes.
Excellent. So immediately that brings to mind the next question, which is, what is your least favorite genre?
First-person shooters.
Okay.
I'm really bad at those. I don't get them. I don't see the appeal to them.
It's so just not the whole statement of, if you can play a dragon and kill people with it, that's good. But if you have a shotgun and you want to kill people with it, that's not so much?
Exactly. Maybe if the shotgun looked like a dragon. You know, I don't know.
So the next Call of Duty should launch with dragon rifles or something.
Yes. And then all the players should have pointy ears.
Yes,
yes,
yes, because all Call of Duty players who are not wearing helmets should have pointy ears.
Nobody said you had to have accurate armor.
Well, gaming across the board has made that evident in all since the late 70s.
Right.
That's a topic for a new day. So,
yeah.
Question 4. How has your gaming interests changed and evolved over the last few years?
That's a tough question.
That's what I'm here for, to ask the difficult question.
Yes, thank you for that. The problem is, because when I started off gaming, I mean, we start off with the Ataris, and you know that game with the bugs that float down, and all you're doing is shooting up little dots towards them? That was great fun. I love that kind of game. But I'm also liking the whole progression that the games have been going, moving on to Tekken and then moving on to the linear games like Diablo, yeah, and all those ones, and moving on to the questing games. I'm really liking that kind of stuff. So,
your interest has changed as your ability to process more complex game formats has changed, and that's what you're suggesting here. That generally speaking, you played simple games when you were a simple gamer. And now that you're a more complex form of the organism, you want more complex games.
Maybe. Maybe. I'm just liking where games are going, I think.
But there have always been these complicated games out. Even back in the days of Intellivision, we had things like B-17 Bomber, where you had five different screens, and it was all done with a you know, eight directional number pad with four little buttons on it. Not much different from the console games of today.
All right. I probably would not like that game even today.
Yeah, but that's because of the theme, right? But yes. It still illustrates the example is that prior to the way prior to your evolution, I guess you could say, as a gamer who prefers MMORPGs, and even in that vein, just in that category, how much have the MMORPGs evolved, and you have evolved with them, and it's almost symbiotic. As they've evolved, you've adapted to that evolution, and then demanded more of those changes, et cetera, et cetera.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I could agree with that.
So, like that, it wasn't meant as a derogatory comment. I was just indicating that, you know, because I started gaming with games like backgammon and chess.
Yeah.
So I started with complex games, and then I wanted more complex games.
No, that's fine. You said I was a simple person with simple games. That's fine. I know where I stand now. That's fine.
You know where you sit.
Yeah. Whatever.
Which side of the fence?
Yeah, whatever.
What is your, moving right along to the next question, what is your must-recommend game of the season?
Of the season?
Of the season. Gaming is seasonal, did you know that? We just finished Winter Inmas.
Okay.
So we're now into the pre-summer mega blockbuster game season. So.
All right. Well, you're asking me this on the week of Diablo launch, so I can't really recommend that game yet. However, because...
hasn't stopped anybody else.
No, well, I've also played the beta, so... and love it. So based just solely on the beta, I think that everyone should be playing it. But it is an excellent game. That would be the one, I guess.
All right.
Is that all you have for me?
I could spend the whole rest of this hour just asking question after question about games. But I think in the interest of not boring the hell out of everybody and giving you your fair turn, I will call myself concluded at this point.
All right.
And we'll take it from there.
Okay. So moving on to my questions. Mine aren't nearly that interesting looking at the list right now. So your top three games, what are they?
Top three games would be probably top three just in general, my three go-to games.
Yes.
I would say it's probably... Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, online poker for live online poker for real money, and then probably World of Warcraft, but that one is constantly being replaced by other long-term, long-standing games that I have an on-again, off-again relationship with.
Such as
Company of Heroes, Total War, Shogun 2, Solitaire. I spend an inordinate amount of time playing Free Cell.
All right.
And strangely, I don't play it at work. I know people are going to say that's a lie, but I don't play it at work. It's not available to me where I work. So.
So you don't play it at work only because you actually can't.
And that is really the only reason I don't play it at work.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so what is your preference for games? Do you prefer tabletop games, console games, PC games?
I'm going to have to say I prefer tabletop games, but tabletop miniatures as opposed to, for example, board games or card games. The miniatures gaming, I think it sort of combines all the best elements of what, to me, gaming is all about. It gives a complexity that you're not going to get in a board game or in a Scrabble game, and it gives a social interaction that you're not going to get from an online game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some of these tabletop games are quite detailed, and they have other elements to them as well. There's a hobby element to many of them. There's a research element to some of them, and you know, if you get in with the right group of players. It can be a very satisfying, almost an all-around kind of experience. It satisfies different compartmentalized types of gaming. So I would say that tabletop miniatures is my genre du jour.
Okay, well, my next question was why, but you've obviously answered that. What is the most irritating thing that you've come across in gaming?
In gaming in general?
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is a most irritating thing in different categories. overall, though, I think it's just rudeness. The most irritating thing that I have to deal with in gaming is rudeness, and I find that that's probably the number one reason why I'm not an addict of online games, is because it's also the number one forum for rudeness. You have the anonymity of the internet protecting you, so you know, the little 88-pound weakling can say whatever he feels, and he can try and pass himself off as a 300-pound gorilla, because who knows? Nobody can tell. And vice versa, the 300-pound gorilla is trying to pass himself off as an 85-pound teenage girl. So I don't enjoy that aspect of it, and that that rudeness that comes about because of that. It is what is the detriment of most online games. It's why I... Sorry, go ahead.
Nope. So do you think that it brings out the worst in people?
I think that it encourages people to have a certain disregard for the consequences of their statements. If I'm sitting at a table playing Scrabble with three other people and somebody says something that I find offensive, they're going to know immediately that it's offensive, even if it was something deliberate or more often than not something offhand. And they're going to get that feedback immediately. And then because we are sitting at the table, they're going to either A, if they're a good friend, they're going to apologize, or if they're a casual acquaintance, they're going to probably apologize more and be far more cautious of what they say in the future. The same encounter happens online. They're not even going to care. Even if you point out to them that what they've said is offensive, it's going to either they're just going to ignore you at best, and worst case scenario, they're just going to drive it into you over and over and over and over to the point where you just want to shut the game off and go and, you know, watch TV.
All right. So that was a little bit negative aspect, but anyway, so moving on.
A bit of a negative question. I
was curious. I honestly didn't know. I mean, it's the same answer that I would give, honestly. But so moving on to the next question and my final question, what was it that got you into gaming?
I don't think it's a what so much as a who. I wanted to do things, the wide world of gaming. All kids play games, so that's, I mean, we all play the games. But I think what put me on the road to being a quote-unquote gamer, if you can hear the capital G, was my father. He was gaming back in the mid-70s when certain... very well-known role-playing games were first introduced to the market, and before I was 10, I was already starting to participate in a very juvenile, very father helping out his kid sort of way. But that's really what got it started off, and it just ballooned from there.
Awesome, those are all my questions.
Excellent questions too. Mine were a lot more generic. Yours were very specific.
Well, you know, it's the way we think, I guess.
I wrote my question down 10 minutes before we started this, so.
I thought you did. I thought I saw you scribbling, so. So why don't we move on to the next topic and discuss why we're actually doing this podcast.
Okay. So aside from the obvious answer, which is?
Because we're awesome.
And that?
Everybody should hear our opinions.
And even those who don't.
Really do.
And the ones who really don't.
Still do.
And everybody else.
Okay.
Should. I was waiting for that. Should. Okay. Everybody doesn't want to. Should.
I thought maybe you'd want to, you know, drag that on forever. I'm so sorry, listeners. That was just far too long. That was just dragged. Moving on. Why are we doing this podcast besides being awesome? How about you start?
I started the last topic.
Oh.
Okay. How about you start?
All right. Well, I listened to a bunch of podcasts, and I quite honestly got tired of listening to podcasts and yelling at my computer or my phone or wherever I'm listening to it and with my opinion, and not always yelling, but answering back to the podcasters with my own opinion. And I figured, you know what, this is a good way of saying exactly what I'm thinking and on certain topics and whatnot. So that's why I wanted to do the podcast.
I think I wanted to podcast because I am always looking for a way to help everyone understand what their opinion is. And
a la yours.
Yes, well, I want everyone to be correct.
Yes.
So the easiest way for them to be correct is to just adapt whatever I'm telling them. I think that, you know, putting all the bad jokes and my jokes aside, I think it's really just an opportunity to really share some of my experience and some of my thoughts and some of my insights. And as some of the listeners out there will undoubtedly already know, you and I have had these conversations before.
Yes.
And I think that this is an opportunity to have them again and have somebody else listen in and maybe comment. And it's, for me, it's all about the dialogue. It's all about communication.
Mm-hmm. And maybe give a new idea or a new twist on something that we hadn't considered before, because you and I are frequently right in line with the same opinion on certain topics. So
I think that that's, you know, like I said, if you want to be right, you're going to. I agree. I think that it's a great opportunity. Sometimes talking about these topics out loud gives you an opportunity to, you hear yourself saying them. And so that gives you an opportunity to reflect on what you've said or what the other person has said.
Right.
And maybe then, and you know, sometimes if we say it out loud, we're accountable for those things, and that other people will maybe hear something and hear it away or think of it a way that they hadn't previously thought of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, it all comes full circle, pay it forward kind of a thing.
Yeah. Right. I wanted to talk about what exactly our content is going to be, not exactly what our content is going to be, but
generally
what our content is going to consist of. And I mean, obviously as you're listening, you've probably already surmised that this is a gaming podcast, and we want to discuss. We will be discussing what's going on in the gaming world. But I mean, I've already said at the beginning of this cast that I'm a WoW gamer, essentially, and so that will be where my interests are going to be lying, and that's where most of my discussions are going to be going. We're going to be talking about other things as well and other games that are coming up. Diablo, just putting that out there.
I was just waiting for you to take a breath so I could say that we were only going to be talking about WoW until Diablo starts, and then
Diablo.
It'll be D3, 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 Diablo. D3, D3, D3.
At least until I come across the next butcher, which shuts down my game completely. So for those of you who are listening, in the first Diablo, there is a boss named the Butcher who pretty much broke six mice for me.
The very first boss,
yes. He was the hardest boss, I think, in the game, and he was the cause of great anger and frustration for me, so... Anyway,
that'll be a whole topic in future. Is we can pick a particular game and critique it. What was good about it? What was bad about it?
Right.
And that won't take me very long.
For that game, yes.
For that game, that.
But anyway, I wanted to just give an idea to our listeners as to where we were going with this. Do you have anything to add on that?
Well, I mean, there's not really anything to add. It's mostly just a reiteration. We're going to be talking about not just the games themselves, but also we're going to have some topics that involve gaming. Mm-hmm. Our aforementioned topic three for today, which is gaming snacks. Also, you know, how does gaming impact your life, and how is it impacting other aspects of what you do? And I think that, you know, we're not limiting ourselves to strictly the games, but also as gamers, I think that we're going to probably have opportunity and maybe encouragement to discuss the lifestyle of a gamer and mm-hmm. And some of the things that come along with that.
As exciting as that is.
As exciting as it sounds like it should be.
Yeah.
I think that it was important, and I know that we talked about this before we started this, that we wanted to not limit ourselves to one type of game. I know that at least initially we're going to make references to two or three standard games, and that's actually not just us that's doing that, but that's something that's actually fairly prevalent in the gaming industry itself. Most MMORPGs and anything that can even remotely sniff what an MMORPG is like is going to be compared to World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. Some of the other first-person shooter comparisons would be for Call of Duty right. or Battlefield. And so I think we're not going to just toe the line and make those comparisons. But I think that it's going to be important for everyone to understand that there's a reason why WoW is the one everybody compares itself to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why these other games are the leaders of their genre and have been for many years.
Yeah.
So
don't have to go far to see those numbers at all.
No.
I think that exhausts this topic, right?
I think that, you know, we're sort of running out of things to sort of talk about with that one. So
why don't we
move right along,
because
mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to our next topic. Game snacks. What are they? Where do I get one?
Yes.
And I will start.
Okay.
I am a snack fiend. I am guilty of needing snacks when I raid. I need snacks when I grind. I need snacks when I basically, if I'm not eating, I need snacks.
Pretty much. And if you're not eating or snacking, you're looking for food.
Yes, I'm looking for something to eat or snack on.
Right. So.
Rinse, repeat, win.
Yes, exactly.
So let me ask you this question, since that seems to be a topic that we should probably, or a genre that we should probably pursue.
Okay.
In the idea of game snacks, what's an ideal game snack for you? What's the snack that is the go-to snack?
My go-to snack, my absolute favorite snack, or the one that I use the most or eat the most?
Your one that you go to the most. Not the one that is, because the treat one is, if you had it all the time, it wouldn't be a treat. It would be the regular snack.
It's probably a chips and dip, I would have to say. Because they're perfect. They're, the problem is, though, because I have different snacks for different things that I'm doing.
Guilty.
Yes. So I have the snacks that I can eat while I'm raiding, and I have the yes, and I have the snacks that I can eat while I'm grinding, and then there's the snacks that I can eat when I don't care what falls on top of my keyboard.
And then there's the snack of opportunity.
Yes. Well.
Which is when you're casting about for something, but you don't know what it is, and you haven't established what you're going to do yet because you haven't found the snack to go along with it.
That's right.
I myself am guilty of this. Have you ever determined what you're going to do based on what snack you have?
No. I can't say that I have, no.
I have that habit.
Yeah.
There are many times, I mean, prearranged events, I'm going to do a raid with the guild, or I'm going to mm-hmm. log in for a poker tournament or something.
Yes.
That notwithstanding, I've sat down at my computer and I haven't decided what I want to do. What snacks do I have? That's going to determine. in many cases, that really sets the tone for what I do for the next little while in that regard.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. For me, it's more of, if I'm going to be sitting at my computer and I'm going to be raiding, for example, I need to pay attention to what I'm doing. So I cannot have a snack that's going to be real labor intensive. So something like popcorn is perfect for that. It's not super messy. I can just leave it on the edge of my desk and I can just grab it as we take a break between bosses or whatever. But if I'm going to be grinding and just doing some mindless time wasting, something with a little bit more effort is acceptable for me. I can go and take the minute to dip my chips and savor it. And
chew it like you mean it.
Exactly. So that's kind of where I go with the snacks. So how about you? What's your favorite?
I honestly think that I would be unfair of me to say I have a quote unquote favorite. I have favorite snack, but it's not the favorite snack. It's similar to what you just said. It's kind of a reiteration of the same thing. I am in the middle of a raid. I don't have time to really enjoy the nachos with melted cheese. I like a snack that's bite size, not too crunchy, dry. I don't like anything that's wet or sticky, generally speaking.
I want it all over your keyboard.
Yeah, and I'm kind of more than fastidious about my keyboard and about my computers. So, you know, I have a tendency to avoid – I'm not fussy on popcorn because I find popcorn is kind of like eating little cotton batten things. Like
eating,
you know,
little bits of heaven.
Chewing on a Q-tip or something. It's
because you're not eating it right. You need to load it up with butter.
Yeah, then it's gooey and sticky. Wrong. See the previous comments, right?
Then it's perfect.
Pause this, rewind it, play it again, then you'll know what I'm talking about. I like Doritos. I'm a big fan of chips. And let's see, what else do I enjoy? I'm a gummy bear fan. But gummy bears have had a horrible, horrible disappearance rate when they're in the vicinity of my keyboard.
Right.
They vanish. It's just, it's like, they evaporate, I think, very rapidly.
Yes.
And I haven't been able to discover the source of this phenomenon, but I've done some extensive research on this. Mm-hmm. And I have noticed that a 2-pound tub of gummy bears doesn't last more than 2 hours, sometimes less.
I was going to say 2 hours seems awfully generous.
For 2 pounds of gummy bears?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I've seen you go through them pretty fast.
Oh, I've had my moments where I've gone, what the? Where did my gummy bears go? It's only been 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's normally precursed by the, oh, I don't feel so good. And then I look down and go, what the? Where did my gummy bears go?
Yeah.
I think that, if I'm going to have a tabletop game, mm-hmm. then I'm going to have a different set of snacks for that game.
Yes. Yes.
Than I will for if we're going to play cards.
Tabletop game, we're going to be including things like pizza.
Yeah, now that brings up a whole sub-level of conversation. What constitutes a raid snack? See, I don't think of pizza game snack. See, I knew I was going to say that at least once. I don't use the term game snack. I use the term raid snack.
Yeah.
I mean game snack, mm-hmm. but I say raid snack. I don't think of pizza as a game snack. I think of pizza as a necessary part of the gaming experience, but it's not. It doesn't constitute snack. First of all, I think anything that has to be heated or cooked, mm-hmm. by definition, is not a snack. A snack to me is something that I can between one roll of the dice and the next, I can run to the cupboard, open the cupboard, grab it, bring it back to where I'm sitting, and then open, consume, win.
Cold pizza.
Again, it's a stretch. I could concede on a if we're having a Magic the Gathering binge all weekend, and it's very early Sunday morning, and the pizza's been in the fridge for 3 hours, and we're if it made it to the fridge in the first place. Well, we ordered the pizza Friday, so it's in the fridge from Saturday afternoon. So
somebody's mother came along.
Somebody's put it away. I didn't put it away.
Right.
In that case, I think that it could possibly broach the edge of being a snack.
My classification is that if you don't actually stop the game to eat, if you're eating while gaming, it's a snack. It's not a meal.
I could have a roast beef dinner and not stop gaming.
Well, there you go.
So
basically, a good snack.
I've had full dinners at the computer table, as I'm sure you know, since you've made them up for me and brought them to me. So. It's not that's too broad category, mm-hmm. right? Anything that has a preparation time that is more than just a couple of moments, you know what I mean? I think that's – we could have instant noodles, you know. If it's noodles in a cup where you just add the hot water and mix it and eat, then, yeah, I can see that as a snack. But if I got to get a pot out of the cupboard, then I got to fill it with water, throw it on the stove. I got to sit there while water comes to a boil so it don't start a fire. Then I put the noodles in the boiling water, and then, you know, and I carry on in that manner, step by step, to make it sound very complicated to make Mr. Noodles. I don't see that as a snack.
Right.
That's not a game snack. That might still constitute snack, but I'm specifically saying that a game snack is something to me that has no prep time, doesn't need to be cooked. Even nachos. If we have company and we're having a Monopoly tournament or a Monopoly game at the house here, we're gonna have nachos. We're gonna have pizza. We might have wings. Wings are finger food. Nachos are finger food. Pizza is finger food. But that's still not a game snack.
Gotcha. Okay.
But in my definition, anyways. And since
that is understandable, yeah.
I've already established that if you want to be right, you have to have my definitions.
Yeah. I classify pizza as a game snack. Just putting that out there.
You picked it a pizza. You got to let it go.
I can't let it go. It's pizza.
All your pizza belong to me.
Pretty much.
Favorite pizza?
Favorite pizza? Ham and pineapple.
Ham and pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
Extra cheese.
And tomatoes.
All pizza should have extra cheese.
Mm-hmm. That goes to those things.
Even cheese pizza. I just ate.
All right. So, finger foods, that's pretty much our consensus, right? Crunchies. Something crunchy.
Any sort of crunch. Well, now see, that's another thing, is there are times when I don't want a crunchy Raid snack.
Yeah.
You know? Marshmallows don't cut it for me, though. They're too sweet. I'm not big on sweet.
I'm not big on sweet either. If I'm going to snack, I'd prefer something more savory, salty end of things. But
yeah. Yeah.
That's how I am.
If I have a craving for sweet, that very often means I need to get up from the game.
Mm-hmm. Go have a coffee.
Have a nice bar,
yeah.
You know,
yep.
Something.
Yep, exactly. So I concur.
Little sphere of chocolate that you can whack against something, which has the satisfying effect of allowing you to whack something and then enjoy chocolate afterward, which is, as I'm sure everyone agrees, always a good combination. That whack something and then eat chocolate.
Whacking is good, I suppose, yes. We're going to stray away from that one. Drinks.
There'll be no chocolate whacking here today.
No. All right, let's talk drinks. Do you always have drinks. A drink beside you?
I almost, well, unless I've run out of a beverage, I always try to have a beverage right now. Listen, I'm sipping.
Oh, thank you for that. That was lovely.
That's my grape Kool-Aid. Okay. Kool-Aid is a standby. I think that it's one of my go-to beverages.
Do you have a different drink for different games again?
I would say I have an aversion to types of drinks when I'm gaming. If I'm having a live poker game at my house is more a social event than a game event, so I will allow myself to indulge in, say, a beer or a cocktail. Whereas if I'm at a casino or a tournament playing poker, I avoid alcohol like something that you would avoid terribly. When I'm miniature gaming, I have the same sort of restrictions on what I drink as I have what I eat. If I'm touching a bunch of miniatures or a bunch of pieces to a game, I don't want to have stuff all over my fingers, and yeah. I certainly don't want to have a beverage that's going to potentially drip or drop onto the surface of where we're playing. So there are those who might say that was a common sense approach, but they would be wrong. That's the approach of somebody who's been gaming for 30 plus years.
Right.
How about you? Do you have
I generally go with a hot tea sitting beside me. Sometimes
for all situations?
Pretty much all situations.
This is a win.
Pretty much, unless I I'm said. Excuse me, unless I'm doing something at the table with other players, and then it'll be something cold, usually. Usually also of the alcoholic variety.
Sort of a social convention.
Exactly. That's not a hard and fast rule. I'll sometimes change it up and switch the two, but generally I have my tea sitting beside me. And
it's an accepted social tradition.
Mm-hmm. It is. So... Alrighty, is that all we have for this topic?
Once again, I could talk about snacks and the various competitions.
All right. Do you want to talk about your gaming week this week?
My gaming week this week has been a little scattered. I've been a little bit all over the board. I've played multiple games. Unlike many people around right now, I have not been chewing my fingernails off in anticipation of Diablo 3. I'm just
Diablo.
Throwing it out there.
Diablo.
I've actually encountered some software problems with some of the games that I really enjoy. GTA 4 has been giving me problems. And the solution to that I've not found a solution yet that does not involve a 15 gig download through Steam. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to find a workaround on that one. I've completed GTA 3 earlier in the week. Finished it for fifth or sixth time now. And that was this time I did the quests that I had left out previously. And I started some of the tanking gear on my warrior, who is my once you've got to episode 100, many, many weeks from now, you'll know that I have all kinds of max level characters. I'm actually more looking forward to Mists of Pandaria than Diablo 3 or that other game that's supposed to be launching here in the next couple of months.
Now, you have the beta invite for Mists, right?
Yes.
And how have you been playing that?
Not as much as others. Again, mm-hmm. I play a lot of different games mm-hmm. throughout my week. And I no longer have a lifestyle that allows 40 or 50 hours of gaming every week.
Yeah.
Or it's the pity. There are days when I wish I could sit at the computer and just play games all day and maybe get paid for that. So if there's anybody listening, I'm willing to take offers for that. If you want to pay me to stay home and play games, even if they're bad games, you're going to pay me to play them. I'm all about that.
Exactly.
I have played it. It's hard to because I was in one of the first few rounds of beta invites. And so, of course, you log in, you try one of the new races, and there are 137 pandas all standing around the second quest giver, and nobody will move, and nobody will cooperate, and everybody is rude. And,
every third quest is bugged. And
every third quest doesn't work, and you crash like every 8 minutes. There's an expected crash from Blizzard.
That's
if
right.
It doesn't crash, it locks up. So
that's why I haven't been playing much either. It's so crowded, and it's still very buggy. So it's been better in the last couple of weeks as they're ironing this stuff out, but I just haven't been playing it as much as I'd like to.
I found that because I was a beta for Wrath as well, and I find that the two are just it's so different. As a beta tester for Wrath, we had tools right in the console, right in the UI, for reporting bugs.
I'm finding that interesting how the approach they're taking. I suppose it's because it's an open beta to pretty much everybody who wanted to be in it. All you had to do was sign up for the year pass. Because there were so many players, I think that's probably why they did it as reporting bugs on the forum. But it just seems odd for beta testing that way. I don't know if they have some testers that they actually go and question, hey, we trust your opinion, or are they actually paying attention to the forums or what? I'm not sure.
Well, I think it's been established many times over that Blizzard pays attention to their forums. They really do. I don't know that it would be like, for example, Ghostcrawler reading every forum every time. How cool would that be? Ghostcrawler calls you at home and says, so I was reading your post, Himatep, and I thought, I got to call this guy and ask him what he's talking about, because he's not making any sense at all.
So, I'm sure he has nothing better to do with his time.
He sits home and waits for an opportunity to call me.
That's right.
I know that's what he's doing.
Yes.
That's why there's been such a delay in these games.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think you're probably onto something. I think that it's the sheer numbers. Even in the Wrath, when they went with a public beta and they allowed other people to just randomly join, and they were sending out in the round six or round five, and there were loads and loads of people.
Although I was not one of those people, just saying.
just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that there was. a lot more people now than there was then. But this is earlier in, and you really need to be able to articulate what's happening in the when you're setting yourself up. Without getting into specifics, you right click on a quest giver and the text comes up and half the text is missing, or you know, bugs like that. Now I have to exit the game. I have to, for the average person, I of course have two screens and I have the forums open at all times. So, but the average person has to exit the game, load their browser, go to the screen. If they're an experienced beta tester, or if they have experience with this sort of thing, they may have been taking notes about what was going on when it happened. But for the average person, by the time they get to the forum, they no longer even have any really useful details about what was going on. All they're going to wind up typing is, I was talking to the quest giver, and the game crashed on me again. It's so buggy, I don't know how I'm going to play it. And, I mean, like, I've been on the phones and read comments like that. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I know. Just today I did.
So there you are, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So other than, I mean, I don't know how we got onto the beta, but...
The specific beta, I know. We started to banter.
Yes, we were talking about how your game week went. So you got some gear for your warrior?
I got some gear for my warrior. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing my warrior out of the closet. He sat at level 83. For, I'm guessing 5 or 6 months. I'm not fond of leveling.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been fond of leveling. So I think that subconsciously I go out of my way to avoid leveling. And while everyone else was getting gear, I was playing other games entirely. So, but otherwise, you know, like I say, I don't game as much as I want. So when I do game, I like it to be more of a quality thing, mm-hmm. versus a quantity thing. And this week, I haven't really had much quantity or quality, but it's been productive.
Yeah.
And so I've been pleased. And good. Your week? How has your week been? I know you're dying to tell me about Diablo.
Well, I have only played the beta. It hasn't actually launched as we're recording this. So, I'll let you know next week, because you can bet it'll be on my list.
Topic one, Diablo 3.
Yes, exactly. We'll just have the whole episode dedicated to Diablo, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this week, actually, it was all exclusively WoW for me. It was a very good week for me. We had our guild progressed very well. We got to the second burning tendon in spine, which is awesome for us. And had we had time, I'm certain that we would have gotten several good attempts on Deathwing as well. But we just simply ran out of time that night. And I ended up getting a couple of new pieces for my shaman, which is most excellent. I now have a 4-piece raid set, tier 13 raid set. So I'm very happy and looking forward to next week's raid to see what kind of numbers I'm pushing on that. I also got my very first legendary ever. Yay.
That was 7 years coming.
Only 7 years. I know. It's kind of crazy. I got a Sulphurous. Hand of Ragnaros, I think is the name of the base. Anyway.
Something like that, yeah.
It's a legendary. I didn't really look into details.
Yeah. It's a legendary. It's just talk about it. I link it in trade.
Exactly. So I now have something to link with all the cool kids.
Yay.
Yeah, and managed to, with our guild, set up another raid group for Shakti, actually, who is my main, and she is a mage who has been sitting on the sidelines for the last few weeks, not raiding at all. So we managed to set up a raid group for that, so I'm looking forward to that run. And that's pretty much been my gaming week. So I think we can pretty much move on. This has been a good podcast, I think.
I think we have I'm pleased, being as our first podcast ever, the first of many. I think that we're going to be hopefully getting some feedback from people who've listened, all four of them.
Please, that would be
good. And if there's anything that I could do differently, it would be to be a little bit better prepared.
Not 10 minutes before the.
And not recording. I probably should put on a headset and sit in front of a mirror for a few hours and practice enunciating all of my words and all of my letters. I'm excited about this. I love this this type of interaction. And I really think that as we get a little bit more polished with this, mm-hmm. I think that that this is going to be something that people are hopefully going to look forward to listening. And any final thoughts?
I completely second what you just said. I would love to hear from our listeners and let us know what you think. And what can we improve on? What would you like us to talk about in upcoming episodes and that sort of thing? This has been great, and I'm looking forward to doing this again. So I think with that, we will conclude episode 1 of Rolling for Loot. If you have any comments or questions, and we highly encourage this, visit us at our blog, which is rollingforloot.blogspot.com. You can like us on Facebook as Rolling for Loot, and you can also tweet us at Rolling for Loot.
Thanks for listening. I'm Himotep.
And I'm Shakti. See you next week.